to We Have Thoughts, a podcast about movies, and we are back with another season of our Oscar Rewind series. Let's clap it out. I'm Anna.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Joy.
And we're starting this one off a little spicy.
Yeah.
This season we're talking about the 2012 Oscar season, talking about all the Best Picture nominees. And today we're starting it off with The Descendants, directed by Alexander Payne, written by Alexander Payne, Nat Faxon, and Jim Rash, novel by, forgive me if I pronounce your name wrong,
Cowie
Hart Hemmings, starring George Clooney, Shailene Woodley, and Amara Miller, was nominated for Best Picture. Director Alexander Payne, lead actor George Clooney, adapted screenplay for Alexander Payne, Nat Faxon, Jim Rash, and film editing for Kevin Tent. And it won Adapted Screenplay. This is The Descendants. I forgot that we had discussed that we kind of wanted to do a little synopsis of each movie. So real quick, here is the IMDb synopsis for The Descendants. A land baron tries to reconnect with his two daughters after his wife is seriously injured in a boating accident. Nice, simple. What did we think?
I have to tell you that I was first confused because I thought this was the Disney Channel movie and I was like, that's not possible. And then I was confused a second time because I thought this was the one where Emma Stone pretends to be Asian.
I did too!
So I was like, is she like a friend of Shailene Woodley? But like Shailene Woodley was on the poster. But wasn't Bradley Cooper in that one? I was very confused for like a solid 10 to 15.
Literally my first note. I said, I know nothing about this movie. Honestly thought this was the one with Emma Stone cast as an Asian woman. I think it's Aloha.
That's Aloha, yes.
I'll never watch it, so I don't care. But I definitely was like, Emma Stone? Question mark? Yeah, so I think overall, it was very well written. I appreciated that part of it. Love me some Nat Faxon and Jim Rash, who also wrote The Way, Way Back, which is a film that Anna and I love a lot. Very special to us. And then Alexander Payne does a good job as well. Nebraska was really pretty. It's interesting to see the landscape of like Hollywood and how it is now. Like now movies are much like, this is a streaming movie or this is a theater movie. And this felt very much like a streaming movie. But at the time, like that, they were like that. So yeah, it was good. It was more emotional than I expected and better than I thought. But yeah, I'd say a little bit more than mid.
See, I think it's very mid. I saw this the same day I saw Beau Is Afraid. So
what an experience.
Yeah,
this is our first time, all of us, right, seeing it?
My first time.
Okay, yeah, first.
So I don't know. I just wasn't really feeling this movie. I thought it was okay. I liked The Way, Way Back better. And I thought if this could get a nom for adapted screenplay, then so could have that one. And also Alice and Janney could have gotten some love for that one.
I think with The Way, Way Back, which you should watch if you haven't seen it, everyone. There's more humor in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there wasn't really any genuine humor because, like, no one is really funny in this movie. They needed, like, a comedic relief because Sid is supposed to be that, but he's just kind of stupid and he's annoying. So it doesn't really
provide Barry 2011.
Yeah. It's providing me, like, levity that, like, because it's a serious thing that's happening to this family. And it's just like, I need a laugh, like, some laughter. But I think that's what was missing from this movie.
I was very surprised. I thought it was going to be very average, but I actually think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked it. The writing was way better than I expected it to be. And I should have known because, you know, Jim Rash. But I was actually very surprised. I was, like, very engaged in the movie. I was like, I want to know what happens next.
Yeah, because it was getting messy, girl.
I know. I love a good drama. I love some drama when it's not about me or my family. but I was, like, very invested. I was like, I want to know what happens. Do I care about these people? Okay, sure. Why not? And it, like, in the beginning, I was like, the first, like, I think 10 minutes of it, I was like, so you're going to justify this by saying that, like, six generations ago, this white man colonizer came in and this Native Hawaiian woman supposedly consented to a relationship with him. Ooh. Again, we don't know, not putting words in anyone's mouth. We don't know what happened. Also, this is fiction, but
I'm sure it's happened in real life though.
Yeah. And considering like, Hawaii's in crisis, like Native Hawaiians have been, killed and their land stolen and blah, blah, blah since, not blah, 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 but you know, since, you know, colonizers decided to invade Hawaii. So this is a very interesting sort of setting. In the beginning, I was like, I do not want to care about this bitch trying to sell off this land. But then, like, things happen, and I was like, okay, I kind of care. Like, this is kind of wild. What's happening to them?
That's credit to the writing, for sure.
Yes, that's why I was like, okay, the writing sold me. And also, like, you can't deny it. George Clooney's a really good actor. Like, you can put him in something average and he's gonna elevate it and make it great. He's just great. He is a movie star. Even in a movie like this. And then, like, it was just like a really good ensemble too. I think like the what's his name? The cheater guy. I just want to call him Sherry.
Matthew Lillard. also, the range on that Matthew Lillard. He's great.
Right? Also, Judy Greer. I love a good Judy Greer. I love
Judy Greer. I love Judy Greer.
If I could be an actress, I want to be a Judy Greer. Because she shows up and she hits it out of the park every time. Like, you're from somewhere, but you never know where she's from. Uh-huh. She'll always be famous, but you never know who she is. I love it.
Yes.
So there's currently on Twitter, there's a tweet going around, like, every time this actor's in a film, no matter what part they're playing, they elevate it. And I've seen today both Matthew Lillard and Judy Greer, and I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
They knew we were recording today, that's why.
They did. Also, Judy Greer has probably one of my favorite celebrity memoir titles. It's I Don't Know Where You Know Me From.
That's true.
No, yeah, she was really great in this too. I as like average and basic as Shailene Woodley is, I don't think this was a time where she was like super average or basic. Like, she was like a step above average or basic. Like, if she like I think of this as like comparing it to Big Little Lies, where like there was a significant difference between her performance and everybody else's performances, but in this she kind of like was able to give a little bit more, so it didn't seem like she was getting like super outacted by like the little sister or George Clooney or like the other people around. So I don't know if that has to do with the character or like she's right for this character and the right age and right time, and she just wasn't a good casting choice for Big Little Lies. I don't know, but she was good.
I think Shailene Woodley's performance is going to live and die by the writing she's given, because the things I've seen her and that I've enjoyed her in have been well written. Mm-hmm. Things that I haven't have been not great. Mm-hmm. So I think she's not good enough to elevate terrible writing, but she's not bad enough to deflate it either.
So yeah. Yeah.
This movie screams Anna. It screams this is a movie Anna would enjoy. This is one of her comfort movies that I would put on, you know, when I'm cleaning the house or when I'm feeling sad, whatever. And I don't know why it didn't connect for me. And maybe it's like some of the subject matter was maybe a little close to home. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was it. I love George Clooney. I think he's charming as fuck. I think he's a great actor. But there was that scene where he's telling the friends what was going on. And they're having like that fight back and forth. And he yelled at her best friend about them protecting her, whatever. I don't know why, but I thought some of the acting in that scene was very cringy. I was like, it felt very uncomfortable. It felt like, I don't know if it was on the friend that I thought she was the weird one. And then George Clooney playing off of her was odd and awkward, but it felt very odd to me. And I think for the rest of the movie, I kept like trying to look out for more of that. But yeah, it was weird to me.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like everyone who wasn't the main cast was like really wooden and oddly like terrible. Like, it was just really weird. Like even, what was her dad? Like, I know he's supposed to be sad, but everything just felt so wooden and I don't really know why. But I noticed it the most, and maybe just because he was like supposed to be a surfer dude, but like the guy who they confront at the restaurant, I think his name was like Troy. And he's like that really ugly Justin Bieber haircut. I can't do it. He's like, I told her not to go on the water. I don't know why she didn't listen to me. And I'm like, what? Is he having a stroke on camera? Like, what is happening? It was really weird. And I'm like, and I thought maybe it's like a cameo, maybe he's like a surfer or something. So like, okay. But then later on with like everyone, I'm like, why is everyone so wooden? It was just really weird.
I also felt like because there were so many cousins that they had to have and so many family members that you could obviously tell who they didn't want to pay for a speaking role. Cause there was a lot of people just kind of like sitting there in the background, like awkwardly smiling and nodding their heads.
Yeah.
And Beau Bridges was just talking.
They paid Beau Bridges and that was it. Nobody else got paid.
Yeah. And that one other cousin, but I was like, there's obviously, they're like, yeah, we're not going to pay you for a speaking role. You're not going to get SAG for this.
It kind of just seemed like George Clooney got dumped in the middle of like a community theater production of this.
Like, were they local hires or something? Could no one act in Hawaii? I don't believe that.
Maybe they didn't go through an agency. They were just like, hey, guy off the street, you look like a surfer, come here.
Also, that's
weird.
For a movie, I know this was 2011. I think it felt older than 2011.
Really?
I don't, there was something about it that just felt like it was more 2007-ish to me. Like it just felt a couple years older. But also there was, we've said he was annoying. But that whole R word scene felt very unnecessary. And then also him. Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then him telling Scotty, big boobs are fat. Like, fuck you, sir. Let her want big boobs.
Very dated.
Yeah.
Screw you. And I was like, for this winning best adapted screenplay, that kind of, I was not happy about it.
I think when I think of adapted, I've talked about this before, I think of more like the story rather than the dialogue. But yeah, that's a fair point. Another person I thought was wooden, and I remember now, was when George Clooney goes to college to get Shailene Woodley, and like she's like the RA or something. She's like, girls, I told you to stop in your dorm. This college production, I can't. I was like, I was halfway painted because of writing notes, and I go, what? Like, I thought she was joking. And so I reminded to be like, oh no.
Jesus.
This is an Oscar-nominated movie.
Which makes me wonder, is it that they just hired that many meh actors? Or is the dialogue that, like, clunky and the writing that weird?
But it's not even, like, it's simple lines. Like, if you can't say simple lines, then you're a terrible actor. I'm sorry.
That's true.
You can't say, girls, why are you not, like, us just talking is much more interesting than just them going, like, girls? She did this weird, like, thing with her neck. Why wasn't Alexander Payne like, listen, ma'am, I'm gonna need you to just gesture. Don't even speak. Like, that's one of the directors to be like, that wasn't good. Let's do it again. Or just be fucking normal. Or whatever. And also, like...
Like, how would you yell at teenagers? You would
Just girls. Actually, here's an idea. Just actually
yell. Girls, I told you not to drink. You know, it's not hard.
Girls, what are you doing out here?
Interesting.
Love it. Hey, if she could act, we can act.
There you go. Where's your Oscar?
Let's go. You know what's funny is I was thinking about this again. I haven't acted in a long time, but I'm like, oh my God. There's so many streaming things going on. Like, there's so many shows that premiere on, like, so many different other channels. I'm like, why can't I be on one? No one has to watch it but me. That's fine.
Do it. There's production companies there in Dallas.
There's, like, just speaking of the new one I discovered through Anna, Freevee. That's another streaming service. I learned it was IMDb TV or whatever before that.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even know that was a thing either. I'm sorry, but there's just so many shows that, like, no one watches on all these streaming channels. I'm like, yeah, it seems so easy. It's probably not.
My sister has been plowing through all of the limited series on Netflix, like, all of them.
What? All of them? What is she on now?
I think... She's moved on to The Sandman, so like an actual series. But she's texting me like, oh, I just watched this one. Oh, fuck, it's already been canceled. Oh, this is only a limited series. So this one's not going to get canceled. I'm like, yeah, Netflix has a problem of ordering too much shit, and then not following through with it.
Also, Netflix does not promote anything ever.
No.
Anything being really popular on that streaming service is like an act of God. Because... No, they don't advertise, which is so weird.
Yeah, right. it's either God or Twitter that got him that popular.
Yeah, basically.
Because otherwise, like, you don't... The only, like, real Netflix shows that I've seen are because I've seen them on Twitter, because, like, one friend has been like, hey, you should really watch this, but I've never heard of it before.
Yeah.
And, like, if we go back to One Day at a Time... That shit never got not one ad in one magazine, on one billboard, in one street, anywhere in America did I ever see anything for that. But that was like one of the most high quality things that Netflix has ever done. And yet,
I think if they did advertise, it was like one page advertisement in like a random magazine that no one reads.
Yeah, like in People. Like, who the fuck reads People anymore?
Well, a lot of people read People, but yeah, it was only just one. It was never like... Like, that show was so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Oscar winner, Rita Moreno, was in that show. It's so rude.
Should have been Emmy winner, Justina Machado. And Emmy winner, Rita Moreno.
If you haven't seen that show, please watch it. It's so good. Also, another show we can recommend, at least me and Joy, or Anna can, is Jury Duty.
So good.
I binged that show so fast. I was in it.
So glad you watched it.
What's it on?
Freebie. But I watched it through your Amazon. Enjoy.
Oh.
Which is weird because
the other day I was like, wait, these are not... I didn't put these on my watch list.
do you want me to get my own like section? I can do that.
Oh, you can make your own profile. Yeah, I gave mine to Tony too. So
okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to mess up your algorithm.
My algorithm.
I mean, well, I won't say
right now, right.
What?
What? Say it.
What? No,
Text it to me.
Okay.
Text it to me too, because I don't want to be left out.
Yeah. Keep going.
In the group chat.
Because then I'll start crying.
You out, bitch. Jesus. Cry about it. Good God.
I really just want to be on a beach somewhere with like the sun. It's been like hella rainy the last like week. And I just want some sun and some beach and they'll lay down in the warm sand.
We'll get there.
I can't wait.
We'll get there. But yeah, as much as I know it's bad to travel to Hawaii, I really want to go.
The beach?
I really want to go. Yeah.
Beach.
Let's go to the bay.
Okay. Nikki! Okay, so I liked the there's a shot in the beginning of, I think, yeah, it's looking down at the staircase while he's walking, and it's like a square. I thought that was a cool shot. I like that shot.
You know what? There was
actually the only shot I was like, oh, wow.
I actually did think that there was something there with the editing. That like it was, there were some things that they did. I was like, huh, that was kind of thoughtful. That was on purpose. Instead of just when he's running on the beach and he sees the guy and then it cuts from him to like the guy running and it like gets far away and gets closer. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. It was like, it was visually engaging for a story that was so much about like just the writing.
Yeah.
And it didn't just, it wasn't just like scenic Hawaii, it's so pretty, but it like, it did something with like shots that normally would just be like
it could have been so much more boring visually.
Yes. It did put in some effort to try to be interesting,
right. It wasn't like Banshees or like Tar level, but it was definitely there.
Right I think the editing had purpose. So I appreciated that.
I did enjoy the shot of Shailene Woodley crying in the pool. I thought that was really great.
Yes. Oh yeah, that was
great. Yes. So good.
Have you ever cried underwater before?
Bitch, I've cried everywhere.
I need that on a shirt.
What question is that?
You name it, I've cried there.
I have cried in the ocean. It's very cathartic. It's
so therapeutic.
It's so good. It just literally washed it away. Oh, it feels
because you're being like hit repeatedly with the waves and the current. And so there's something like grounding about that. And then you're also like, your feet is sinking into the sand.
Yeah.
And you're looking out at this vastness. You can't see anything else except water. And it's just very, it's humbling, but it's also like, I just love the ocean. I miss her.
We respect her. That's a strong bitch. She's
good really, to cry in the ocean.
She really is that bitch. She's 75.
You want me to cry in the ocean?
What?
What did you say? I didn't hear any of it.
What?
Who?
You both talked at the same time, so I didn't hear anything of what you said, either of you. So what did you say?
We were just saying we love the ocean and we respect her.
No, you said do you want me to cry in the ocean? Is that what you said?
Oh, no.
No?
I don't know what I said.
Okay, never mind. Moving on.
No, let's sit here and talk about this for the next 10 minutes.
What did you say?
Huh?
I can't hear anything. I don't know what I said 2 seconds ago.
So I pray that none of us have to make a decision to pull the plug on someone, because that sounds
horrendous. I really.
And I'll say right now, and I'll put, since this is like a public thing, it's gonna go out to the world. If you know me when I'm dying, it's okay. Like, I give you the permission, so it's not a decision you have to make. I'm telling you, it's fine.
Same.
Because I don't wanna be here. That sounds. I don't want to be a vegetable. I like vegetables, but I don't want to be one. You know what I'm saying? So just pop that sucker out and just let me sleep. Because, like, I'll sleep.
Once the doctors say there's no chance, take me out.
Yeah, because I get, like, that's a lot to put on somebody to make that decision. So I'm saying publicly, it's not your decision. It's mine. So when that happens, if y'all are there when I'm dying, then it's not a decision you have to make. It's something I'm going to have to make.
Perfect. Let's get the podcast notarized.
Everyone needs to get their will in order.
Yeah, no matter what your age, you never know.
Can I just write on like a napkin or something?
Yeah, as long as you have a witness, so Anna can witness for you.
I'll do it.
Because we were talking about, my siblings and I were talking about, like, you know, burial and cremation. I was like, I literally don't care. Like, I'm not going to be here. I'll literally be dead. So whatever happens after that, whatever. And they're like, you don't want to have like a funeral? And I was like, if you want to throw me a party, throw me a party now. I'm alive now. Why do you want to throw me a party? That don't make no sense. So anyways, so whatever happens after me, whatever. Fine. And she's like, you don't want us to, like, spread your ashes? I'm like, where? Spread them where? Where I lived? No. Where I want to go? No, take me there now when I'm alive. Not when I'm dead.
What a beautiful Capricorn way of looking at that.
I guess. I mean, like.
Yeah, the most reasonable thought. I love that. I love that for you. Yeah,
very crystal. What basically is I'm saying, take me to trips, throw me parties, and I don't care when I'm done.
All right. Let's plan the next party. Party on the beach. Ooh, crying in the ocean. Can we cry in the ocean together? I feel like that would be extra great.
I feel like I need to cry in the ocean. I've never cried in the ocean before.
It literally is so cleansing. You would love it. You would love it. It literally, it's like spiritually renewing. Girl, I don't know. You get so like connected to Mother Earth and like just the vibes in the air. the Lord, if you want, you know, whatever. Whatever floats your boat. Yeah. This is great. It's really good.
I'm literally tearing up right now thinking about it. I love the beach. I love the ocean.
Wait, have any of y'all been to Hawaii before?
No.
Me neither.
No, that's what I was saying. Like, I know it's bad right now to travel there, but I want to go so bad.
I want to go for the Jurassic Park tour.
A Lost Tour?
Lost Tour, hello.
Oh.
Oh my God, Anna, I'm just thinking about us there and us playing the score while we're there. Oh my God, I'm gonna start crying. And then also saying we're there, join, we play the theme. Okay, I'm crying again.
Oh my God. Yeah,
we are not okay.
Yeah. We wanted to go, but I don't know if we'll ever get the chance to go all together.
Didn't your brother just go?
He did. He shouldn't have, but he did.
Did he enjoy himself?
He did. He came back so like.
I hope so.
He was in the water the whole time. He looks so tan now, you know. Because like living in the city, man, there is not enough sun. Not enough sun. At least right now, I'll probably say differently in like a month when it's fucking hot and there's no air conditioning everywhere. So, but yeah. Also, I learned that like there's like good beaches in Jersey, not just like Jersey Shore. Apparently, there's beaches worth going to. So, not to insult all of Jersey, I just genuinely did not know. So I think I'm going to try to go to the beach.
Does the Atlantic ever get warm enough to, like...
I don't know about getting in the water.
Just look like... at it and wave.
Wave but, at the waves.
Hey, what up?
I will attempt if it's not too cold. But I don't know. I mean, people go, like, hang out at the beach. I don't know how many of them get, like, into the water and stuff. But, like, I've seen pictures... Co-workers have been like, oh yeah, you can like go to the beach. It's like a real beach.
The beach.
So I'm gonna make that attempt this summer and see how good the beaches on in Jersey are. So we'll see. I'll let you know. I'll report back beach status.
So I think
beach update.
back to the movie. I think inserting that whole, because just the whole story of like her being in a coma and like, you know, not knowing what's going to happen is sad enough. But then him finding out that she was cheating on him, interesting narrative wrinkle. Because I actually didn't know anything about this movie. So when Shailene Woody's like, yeah, she was cheating on you. And I'm like, oh, that's like novella level stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
The only thing I knew about this movie was the scene of him running to the friend's house to confirm. And I didn't know that's what he was doing. I just remember seeing clips of George Clooney running through the streets.
Oh. I do have an alternate title for this movie. It's George Clooney Runs in Hawaii.
He was doing a lot of that, yeah.
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 Yeah, so I was like, oh, narrative wrinkle. Okay.
It is very novella-esque because, like, he literally goes and confronts the cheater. And, like, the kids are getting involved. So it's, like, it's there's high drama in there.
But I like that he didn't really, and again, like, Oh, that's so hard to know when to tell the children. Because you want them, they have to know, but you want to keep them like as on the outside as much as possible. So I think him teaming up with his oldest daughter helped him kind of process what he was going through. Because she was mad at her mom. Mm-hmm. And I think, I guess, to be truthful, I don't think that all is forgiven on the deathbed. I think...
No.
I mean, that's easy for us to say now because I'm not seeing someone on their deathbed right now. But, like, I remember when family members were really sick and they asked for forgiveness on their deathbed. And other people were forgiving to them. And I remember thinking, like, why? They're terrible to you your entire life. And they're dying, so they, like, found Jesus and now they're going to repent to you and forgive. Maybe because my mentality is you wrong me once and I don't care. Like, you're dead to me at that point. So you actually dying doesn't make sense. Like, whatever. But I don't believe that everything is forgiven on the deathbed. That's just, maybe that's mean, but
I agree. I think the only kind of caveat here is that there wasn't a chance for her to make it right with her children, or with Shailene Woodley. So I understand Shailene Woodley having to like come to terms with it and be okay with who her mother was as a flawed human being and like
still
saying goodbye to her as who she was before that.
Also, she's really young too. Like, I'm saying this as a person who's older. Like, if I was a teenager, 21, I probably would have been more forgiving as well. But I've lived a little bit of a life now, so I'm much more like know about it. So I can understand her being upset because she's reacting to the news. And then I think George Clooney says in the beginning that, like, they were kind of really apart. They weren't really together anyway. Like, they were married, but they weren't, like, it was kind of estranged or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's, like, Shailene Woodley's a teenage girl. So teenage girls always are like, my family, my own life, I don't need you. So that's a whole nother thing. But, I think me at that age, I would have been forgiving more than I am now.
And I think what broke my heart even more was... the fact that after talking to Matthew Lillard, we learned that he wasn't even as in love with her as she was with him, and he wasn't going to leave his wife. And so she was planning this life and telling her friends, like, I am going to leave my husband because I have this new love, and it's this great love, and I'm, you know, everything's going to be better. And it wasn't the case. That broke my heart a bit. And I think because having been someone who's had parent infidelity, when I was learning about it, I was, of course, mad. But then after thinking about it, I was like, you know, if this was some kind of end-all, be-all love, like a great love affair, and it was the love of their life, and it was this, like, they were actually meant to be, I think, kind of like movie-esque, because I'm a dramatic bitch who loves the Bridges of Madison County.
You're positive. You have a positive outlook on that. I'm jaded.
If that would have been the case, I think I would have been a little bit more okay and forgiving. But because it was just not the case, and it was, I don't want to go into details, but it was just like, it was just an affair, then, like, you're shitty. You're an awful person, and that sucks.
You know, I think, like, in George Clooney's character is relatively, I think, mature in all this, because the fact that he even goes to confront him and says, when he's like, Julie, hold on. He said, Elizabeth is dying. Oh, wait, fuck you. And she's dying. So, like, he's mad at him, but also, like, he wants to tell him and give him a chance to say goodbye to her.
Mm-hmm. Because he thinks they have this great love.
What?
He thinks they have some great love. Elizabeth's friend said, yeah, she was going to leave him for you.
Listen, and he's like, that's me that said, no, fuck you. You're not going to get said bye to her. Because she's, no, he's much more mature than I would have been. I would have been
petty
all the way through.
I think it's because he still loved her enough to know, like, oh, she was going to go be happy with this guy. Uh-uh. I should give her that chance, or him that chance to say goodbye. then to fucking, and then the way he kissed Judy Greer.
That was.
I screamed. Yeah. I was like, sir.
Let me rewind that. Hold on a minute. And just the way it's framed, and it's just like that breath right beforehand.
I don't know if I used this phrase correctly, but my note says him kissing Judy Greer was so out of pocket.
So you didn't like it? You didn't think it was appropriate?
No.
Okay, yeah, you said it right then.
Because
he was reacting to that. You're right. It was out of pocket. It just, I love how you asked how to use it, by the way. he was just
older, like, millennial.
It was like I'm older than you. But I think it was just like his reaction to the whole situation, because he was like, he didn't know what else.
But it was she had nothing to do with it. She was innocent. And then him doing that is what made her start to suspect.
Kind of already knew before that.
Because of the way that he was behaving is what I understood.
Oh, I guess I interpreted it as like she kind of knew that he was distant for a little bit, and then it was starting to come together when he was there.
And then I'd be like, okay, this man just kissed me, like, and it wasn't like some, we're sharing a moment, and I'm gonna kiss her. No, it was bye, and then he just leaned in for a kiss. Like, it angered me. It angered me.
Joey, I haven't spoken in a while. Are you awake?
Yes, I'm awake. I'm just trying to process what y'all are processing.
That I'm petty and honest not.
I mean, to be quite honest,
that I'm a hopeless romantic.
That I'm a jaded bitch.
And I'm a vengeful bitch, so you do not want to know what I would do.
Hopeless, hateful, and vengeful.
I have enough rage stored in my body that I could keep going for 100,000 years.
That's why she's so hot all the time, because she has rage in her every day.
Yes, I'm literally on fucking fire all the time, bitch. I'm a fire sign. No, I would not be respectful. I would not be nice about it. Somebody's getting their ass beat, 100%. There's no way I wouldn't commit a crime. and that's all I'm gonna say.
Say it.
Even just like thinking about it, I'm like, I could get violent.
I'm saying he's so mature. To me, he's so mature.
He is.
Even going to talk to him. Like,
I know, because literally, like, if I saw him running on the beach, I would
pop pop, right?
I'd be like, all of a sudden, I know how to run, bitch. Here I go. All of a sudden, my knee pain does not matter. I'm going after you.
I'm very much like, I wouldn't be like, you know, that, but I'd just be really petty.
I feel like you would be verbally petty and I would be physically petty. So
yes, like, there it is. And there's Anna crying in the corner.
I was going to say it. I'm over in the corner crying.
I do not do well with betrayal.
Again, you mess with me one time, you are dead to me. That is all it takes. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Death bed or not.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then the whole thing about, like, how he kind of knew him because he was like the real estate agent through.
Oh my God, yes.
Oh, this is getting messy.
Yeah, the connection to the selling of the land, it made me feel like Matthew Lillard was using Elizabeth.
Yes, right? Yeah, like when when he was saying that to her, especially when he was like, oh, I didn't feel the same way. Clearly, he was doing it to get at him.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
because it's talked about throughout the whole movie how, like, everyone knows kind of who he is. He's in the papers all the time. So it's impossible that Matthew literally didn't know who he was.
Exactly. Especially when he's dealing with that specific case. Like, there's no way he didn't know.
Yeah.
There's no way. Man, the things people do to make money.
So what do you feel about Judy Greer showing up instead of Brian, Matthew Lillard, to say goodbye to her?
Matthew Lillard is a fucking bitch. What a punk ass bitch.
Coward.
Like, you can't even, like, face what you did because you're a punk ass bitch.
I think it even furthers the narrative that he was just using her. Judy Greer is the one that is the only one that has any kind of sympathy and or
heart.
Empathy for what they're going through.
Yeah.
Because she's like, not only did you just find out your wife has been unfaithful, but you're also finding out that she's also dying. And she's also that the affair is now connected to the selling of this land. So, like, she's the only one, I think, that kind of had a head on her shoulders, even though her screaming at her was kind of funny.
Yeah, and again, I think she was also processing her feelings because she's also her, because she got cheated on.
But she was trying to do she was trying to be a good person.
Yeah, honestly,
through that.
I honestly think she maybe could have said, like, maybe sent a letter or something, or like a sympathies note. Showing up maybe wasn't the best idea, just like mentally.
Yeah.
But I understand why she did it though, because she wanted, because like you said, her heart was breaking for her daughters, for what it's like to be without a mom. That's a lot to take. And she sympathized with that part of it. And I think mentally she should have just said, let me just write you a condolences note and that'll be the end of it. But yeah, men will continue to be trash.
Men are trash. If there's anything you've learned on this podcast and learned in life, especially if you're a woman, is men are trash.
I did laugh whenever, what is it, Scotty? First of all, that name for a girl is so cute. When Scotty was like, to Shailene Woodley, shut up, you motherless whore. I was like, Scotty was the comedy for me, I guess.
That was it, yeah.
Scotty was a vibe.
Love her. So cute. Also, like, there's that scene between Sid and George Clooney. Where they're, like, in the middle of the night, and Sid's like, oh, my family member died. And he's, like, kind of being serious with them for a little bit. And what bothered me about that is that George Clooney's character, at one point, said, oh, sorry for your loss, Sid. Like, he just was quiet and then left. And I was like, say you're sorry. Like, he's trying to open up to you, and you're, like, not... I don't know. Yeah, but again, man, whatever.
He's like sympathizing with him and like
trying to like get, you know, have an understanding, you know.
Yeah. Be like, I'm not just here like because she thinks I'm cute. Like, I'm here as like emotional support because I've already done this.
Yeah. And maybe he's a little weird and like annoying, but he was there the entire time. He never left their side. He was always there watching Scotty. He understood when to get her out of the room. He was what Shailene Woodley and Scotty needed, I think.
Yeah, for like...
I really wish that... Because when someone tells you, oh, my parent passed away, who doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry for your loss?
Like immediately. Immediately, yeah.
So weird.
Yeah, for as dumb as he was actually very mature. So it was a good contrast for him. I like that.
Yeah, so any other notes? I think I said all mine.
I think that's about all I got.
Go through the categories.
Category is Best Picture.
Look, I think this was a pretty mediocre film. I think it was a mediocre Best Picture nomination anyway.
I would agree with that.
Because it's, like, the first one we're talking about, it's hard to see, like, where it ranks amongst these nominees.
How many
but have in you general? Seen? I have seen...
With the Descendants, no.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them.
Okay. I've seen 6.
Most of them I have not seen since they came out.
Same. And I said this, I think, to one of y'all before, that I'm excited to rewatch these because... Now that I have film knowledge, there's some of these that I'm like, I wonder if I'll like them now because.
Ah. That's interesting.
Or not like them now.
It was a terrible movie, but it wasn't, you know, the best one either. It was fine.
I don't think I would have pegged it for a Best Picture nominee. Which one of these does not belong? The Descendants.
So far, right?
So far.
So what about director Alexander Payne? Do you think it was well directed?
I mean, he did a good job.
Direct. It was very...
It was very direct?
No, there really wasn't much to direct, I mean.
Oh, okay.
You know, sometimes when you see a movie and you can see, like, the style of the director, like, this is clearly a Scorsese film, or this is clearly a whatever. What's a tarantula? Tarantino film. Like, they're very distinct, like, styles. I didn't really feel like this was a style. Just felt like, insert director here. But he didn't do a bad job. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's yet to be seen. I want to see the other ones before I make a call on that, but it's just like, it's on the directing side, it's just, it's average. It's like, it's solid B. Solid B.
Yeah, I don't have anything strong to say about it, pro or con. But let me look at who he's nominated with real quick.
Miguel Javinavichus, Martin Scorsese, Woody Allen, and Terrence Malick.
I mean, he's up with some big names. I don't know. Like I said, I just feel very, like, meh.
Yeah.
Fair.
Is that, you feel the same way about George Clooney and his performance? Was it Oscar nominated worthy for you?
Who is he up against? Let me see.
Jean Dujardin, Damien, I'm sorry. Damien?
Mm-hmm.
Bashir? Damien Bashir? Sorry, my brain just like stopped. Gary Oldman and Brad Pitt.
I also saw The Ides of March, which is also nominated for something in here. I think it might be for screenplay with George Clooney. And I think even though he was a supporting actor in that, I think his performance was better.
Right? Did he write the screenplay
for that? I think so. I think he directed it as well. Yeah, because I remember Ryan Gosling telling a story on a talk show about it. Anyway.
That was Ryan Gosling.
I think his performance in that sticks out to me a bit more than it does here. Not that he did a bad job. I just think this film is so, like, middle. Like, it's so mid.
And I think the Academy loves men having emotion. And men being the victim, they love that too. So.
Oh, gross. But you're right. It's
kind of like, you know. For
them. Catnip for them.
Yeah. Eat it up. Eat it up.
He's also a very safe choice. Like, of course he's going to get a nomination because it's George Clooney.
So at one adapted screenplay, do you agree with that? I've never read the novel, so I don't know.
Same. But I don't know. I mean,
I have not seen any of these in this category. At all. So I have no idea.
I've seen all of them, actually. That's funny.
Oh okay, cool. So yeah, but I've only seen Moneyball, so what say you, Anna? I guess what can you say?
Like I said, I haven't seen any of these since 2011.
Right.
And I haven't read any of their original works. So I don't know.
Because you're a reader, do you think you would go back and read this book, The Descendants?
This was probably a fine book. I don't know if it would be something I would necessarily be, I would gravitate towards to right now with what I'm reading currently. But I think at one point in my life, I probably would have gravitated towards this. It's probably the easiest book to screen adaptation, looking at this list. Hugo is a kid's movie, and I think, I don't know much about it, but I think it had more, like, fantastical elements to it. The Ides of March and Moneyball are going to be more, like, jargon-heavy.
Yeah,
Lots of talking, lots of jargon, and then Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. I mean, if the book is half as boring as the movie, from what
isn't
I remember.
Isn't Jean Le Carré, isn't he, like, a good author? Is that how you say his name?
For who?
For Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. He wrote the book, John Le Carré? I'm not sure how you say his last name.
I don't have the name on my list, so I don't know.
Oh, he's the one who put. Oh, okay. He wrote the novel Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
But Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
That was really hard to say.
It's a mouthful. Let me look at his name real quick.
John L-E space C-A-R-R.
Lacroix?
I'm not sure how you say that. I don't speak
Roy.
French? Is it French?
I don't know. Let me look at his other books real quick.
I may have
The Spy seen... Who Came In From the Cold. So yeah, he's written some other pretty famous spy books, but I don't know. I found Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, the movie, to be very slow and very, it's one of those I wonder if I would like it now because, you know, 18-year-old me probably didn't care as much about the Cold War.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What?
He wrote The Night Manager. That was a great miniseries with Tom Hiddleston and Hugh Laurie and Elizabeth Debicki, which I read they're going to bring that back. I don't know how, but if you have a chance to watch that, it's miniseries. It's so good.
Very watch some of it.
Very sexy. It's really great. It's so good. Yeah, highly recommend it. So he also wrote that as well, the book.
For some reason, I thought Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy was nominated for Best Picture.
I did too.
Me too, actually.
I'm glad it's not, because now I'm going to watch it.
The Descendants.
What?
The Constant
Really?
Gardener. What?
Mm-hmm. A Most Wanted Man.
Oh. Is that the one with Oscar Isaac?
The Little Drummer Girl, that's also him as well. That's the miniseries with Florence Pugh. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I keep interrupting.
A Most Wanted Man was with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh.
Rachel McAdams, Willem Dafoe, Robin Wright. Daniel Brühl. From my understanding, I think The Descendants would be the most easy to do a direct book-to-film adaptation.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
There wasn't any, large speeches or, a lot of, huge things. Yeah, it's very...
huge things.
Huge things, yeah. It's getting late. I'm getting sets. Tired.
There wasn't big sets. There wasn't big... it was just easier.
Stop, Joy. I'm talking because
you're editing
for you.
What?
Film editing.
Oh, thank you. It
was up against The Artist. It's The Artist, The Descendants, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo, and Moneyball. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo won.
Ooh, I guess I'll finally watch that. I've been meaning to watch that for years.
What?
I've never seen any of those movies.
Oh,
I want to watch it. I've been wanting to watch it for, I guess, since it came out, but I've never seen it. So I'll probably watch it for these ones.
From what I can remember, the one with Daniel Craig and Rumi Mara was okay, but the Swedish ones with Rumi Rapace are really good.
I've heard, yeah.
Didn't they remake it with Claire Foy?
They did another one, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't the same. It wasn't The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. It was another one in the series.
Oh.
The Girl with the Snake.
He's been alive for 3 iterations of that. All right.
Well, and the thing is the author died while writing the last book. I don't know if that would have been his last, but what ended up being the last book. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of people
speculating.
It had a big cult following. Those books.
I remember
everywhere. Everybody
was wearing those. Yeah. Wearing those? Everybody was reading those? Oh, it is good.
I know my aunt read them. They were popular.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's it.
Where does this rank? So.
At the bottom and the top.
At the same time.
These are the jokes, guys.
That's what you get for 11 o'clock on a Monday.
Clearly not a comedy podcast.
It's midnight for me, man. I'm getting the sleepies. Sleepy.
Oh, we're all getting the sleepies.
Girl.
I didn't sleep at all last night.
Oh, no.
It was a no sleep crystal today. So I was at work and I was like, eyes open. I was like, I have to report a podcast today. Oh, so So the fact that I got through this, Jesus, because I don't know.
Because also, it's not the most, like, exciting movie, too, so.
True. Although, me going through Twitter looking at all those Meg Gala photos did help.
Oh, yeah.
That I was like, I want to see the one. Where is it? Okay, good. Let me go order food now.
Your man was looking good. What is it? Slutty knee?
So thirsty.
Actually, yes.
She is thirsty. She be thirsting.
And very parched. You are right.
Someone can help you with.
Okay. So that's it for this episode. We'll be back to talk about the rest of the Best Picture nominees.
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
Woo. And
we'll see you next time.
Next one's going to be probably not exciting either.
Who's next?
We'll see. Who's next? You have to see teaser for next time.
List is not in alphabetical order. I lost.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.